pleasure to welcome in Kerry Crowley, who's down in Arizona. Kerry, of course, covers the Giants on the beat for the Bay Area News Group and San Jose Mercury News. Kerry, how are you?
I'm great this morning, Marty. How are you?
Very good. How's the weather this morning? Is it heated up yet?
It's not quite up to 100 degrees just yet, but, you know, it's Arizona. We'll get there at some point today.
I know. I love it. I mean, I miss it during the summer, I must tell you. I'm glad I'm up here, but there's something about that weather down there that I don't know. I like the sunshine, and you got the dome. Inside, it's 81. Inside, it's comfortable. Do you like that place, by the way? Do you like Chase Field?
I'm not quite sure if I like Chase Field. I think that it's a little odd in certain ways, and they're fighting against the county because it needs several repairs, and it just feels like it's kind of breaking down through the years, but it's still a nice ballpark, and so I have no problems going there. I enjoy our visits here.
Yeah, I like watching a game there. For me, it's kind of like being inside a pinball machine. It's just saying that things are always going on in there, so I kind of like it. I like it. Hey, Derek Rodriguez last night, an excellent game for him. Kerry, how much has that boosted his stock? Because we know what's coming here over the next couple of weeks.
Oh, I think it did an incredible amount to boost his stock. When you look at the makeup of this staff, I mean, ultimately, they're going to go with a five-man rotation, at least when Jeff Samardzija and Johnny Cueto come back. And then maybe later in the second half, we could see piggybacking starters or some creativity from the Giants. But Rodriguez has done everything in his power over the last two starts to stick in the rotation. And so I think he may have a better opportunity to do so than Chris Stratton at this point. You have to play the guy who is pitching the best. And right now, Rodriguez has proven that he's a more reliable right-hander than Stratton.
They almost got to him early last night for fans who are just waking up and didn't see the game or don't have the recap of it. You know, there are a couple of outfield plays that kind of saved them in the first couple of innings, and that's a story of a starting pitcher. If you don't get them early and they settle in, then it's tough to get them. And Giants defense in the outfield, I thought, came up big time last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And Alan Hansen out in left field, he initially kicked a ball and then threw a great relay into the infield, and Pablo Sandoval made a good decision, and they cut down Jake Lamb on the base paths. And then really the defensive play of the night for me, I know there was a few nice Brandon Crawford plays, and Brandon Belt made a big diving stop to help Rodriguez, but the defensive play of the night was Gorkys Hernandez in center field, racing over into the alleyway to cut off a could-be double, and then throwing a strike into second base to get Ketel Marte, trying to extend a single into a double. Just a huge play from Hernandez, and really underscores his value to the team because he's shown so much at the plate this season. He's had a breakthrough year, best year of his career, but he's also done it defensively. And for a Giants team that needed something in center field, he's provided all of it.
You know, it's funny. We talk about, the true outcomes of baseball, the walk, the strikeout, and the home run. And you see a few plays like that. You see Hernandez, who goes very well side to side, coming in not so great. But side to side, very good, made a great throw in panic. I mean, made the play happen with the great tag. And then you see Hansen overthrow the cutoff man, but Sandoval's got it, throw to the plate, and they're running down Lamb back. You want balls in play. You want stuff to happen at a baseball game, and those are the things you remember.
Oh, it's exciting. Those are the best moments of the game. It's where the fans are rewarded for coming out to the ballpark. And I think that you could sense the energy in the crowd last night, 38,000 at Chase Field, and a lot of Giants fans, too. And that was something I noticed was really for the first time this season, a starting pitcher, when he came out of the game, received a big ovation on the road. And it was because it was an exciting ball game for the Giants fans that did travel. Derek Rodriguez pitched so well, and the Giants were leading by a ton when he came out. And so all the fans beside the first base dugout were on their feet cheering him on.
All right, it's July the 1st. I sort of equated the month of July with April because here's a daunting schedule again facing the Giants in the month of July. You think the Giants have caught the attention of the baseball world, or are people just sort of thinking, well, they're the Giants and they got a lot of injuries?
I think that they've certainly caught the attention of the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Los Angeles Dodgers. And to me, that's what matters the most. The D-backs now know that this is a really tough team. The Dodgers and Giants are in a virtual tie for second place right now, and the Giants should be considered players in the National League West. And they won't go into the deadline unless they collapse over the next few weeks as sellers, because of what they accomplished in the month of June. 18 wins, their most since winning 21 games in May of 2016. Just a fantastic month, and it was all about the pitching to me. You know, in May, Marty, their pitching staff was one of the league's worst. In June, it was the National League's best.
I got a question for you, and that's a baseball question in a way. You know, you go down the stretch, we're heading, I do the cattle drive, you know, we're sort of heading across the desert now or wherever with the cattle. This is the toughest part as you go through these next couple of months. And, you know, Suarez has never been through that before. Rodriguez has never been through it before. Stratton, to some extent, was on the team, but he was in Holland, you know, hasn't been a major part of anything for, you know, 7 or 8 years. My thought is that you need Cueto and Samardzija. I mean, I know it's going to be painful to figure it out, but can you really turn the pitching staff over to guys who have never thrown that many innings or have never been down the stretch before? I think, you know, with all the excitement of the young kids and what they've done, they've only had like 15 big league starts between them. And then here are these two guys coming back. I think it's got to be dealt with. You got to deal with Cueto and Samardzija.
You absolutely have to, and you got to ride Bumgarner every fifth day, even with the off days in the second half. Make sure that he's starting as frequently as possible. Get Johnny Cueto in there whenever his elbow is ready to go, and you know, you hope that Jeff Samardzija hasn't passed his prime and that he can still offer the Giants significant innings and can still pitch in a playoff race, because that's really what they acquired him to do. And so I think that that's why we could see the opportunity for guys like Rodriguez, Suarez, Stratton, and Holland to piggyback their starts in August and September. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of folks have brought up, well, don't you want them to develop? Don't you want Suarez and Rodriguez to stick in the starting rotation? And if they're not going to be starters, go start at AAA so that the Giants have something for the future. But I really don't buy that. I think that the Giants, if they're in the playoff race come August and September, they need to have their best pitchers pitching as often as possible. And so, to me, you send down a few relievers or you make it work to where you can get innings out of Suarez and Rodriguez, whether it's two at a time, three at a time, or five at a time, because these are the guys who are throwing the best ball. And don't rely on them for six or seven innings, but still rely on them.
Well, that's going to be an interesting story that's going to unfold, you know, for guys who've never been down the stretch before and never pitched that many big innings or pressurized innings. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I'm coming to the conclusion. I know we're going to talk about this, you, me, and everyone else when we see you back up here on Thursday. But I'm coming to the conclusion that they've got to have the veterans in this thing. And then you work the other guys in. So we'll see. But I think it's a story that's coming. It's not that simple. All right. Andrew McCutchen. What a month he's had. And not many people have talked about him. I know there's some defensive lapses. But if you want to talk about a guy who's hitting the ball hard, how about this guy?
Yeah, Andrew McCutchen, three hits last night to put his month of June average over 300. Sixth home run of the month last night. Hits three balls to right field, Marty. And something that I've noticed that he's done really well is earlier this year, just about every hard hit ball that he had was caught. But over the last few weeks, we've seen Andrew McCutchen hit against the shift successfully. And he's gone the opposite way really well. And he hasn't done it with taking shorter swings. He's done it when still hitting the ball over 100 miles an hour. The exit velocity is there for him, and he's starting to see balls fall. And if McCutchen can continue this throughout the summer, the Giants, that trade looks really good for them, because their whole goal was to contend in the National League West, and all they gave up was a prospect who's not going to be contributing anytime soon, and then Kyle Crick in the bullpen. And the Giants have shown that they had the depth in the bullpen. They kept Maranta as their young guy. And so McCutchen could turn out to be a great trade asset if this continues.
You think are you any more enthusiastic about re-signing him, and maybe not to a crazy deal, but maybe re-signing him for a two-year deal?
I don't know about a two-year deal. I think that I would offer him the qualifying offer that you probably sign him for 1 year, and so you're not tied up long-term, because I just think the Giants have made too many risky deals in free agency, and they have to be a little smarter heading into the offseason, into the future with what they do. And you can't give money anymore to someone over the age of 30 without a virtual guarantee that they're going to still be able to produce the level that they have in the past. And so I think it's still too early for me to say on whether I'd give McCutcheon a few more years.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't go more than two, but your point is well taken, a qualifying offer, which is about $18 million for 1 year. And then if he rejects it and goes somewhere else, you do get a draft pick. So that's something to think about as well. How about this one today? Derek Holland and Zach Godley. And you talk about another player's kind of under the radar. Holland was the one for me who started the resurgence of the rotation. He was quietly giving you more innings and more innings. And he goes today. He had a pretty good month of June, and he goes against a guy they hit for in Godley.
Yeah, he was practically the backbone of the rotation in June when you think about it. And just things started to really pick up for him in May when he started against the Pittsburgh Pirates on the road. And I think he threw 6 1/3 innings of shutout ball that day. And I think that he turned the corner and has just been a reliable asset for the rotation. He's a steady guy, good in the clubhouse. The guys love playing behind him. He works quickly, rolls a lot of ground balls, and has just filled in really nicely for this Giants team. And he's been an addition who was completely under the radar in the offseason, but in many ways, he's a reason that they're still in the National League West race. And so give Holland a lot of credit, because coming into this season, very few people, myself included, thought that he was capable of holding down a spot in the starting rotation this deep into the season, and he's exceeded expectations.
Yeah, we thought maybe he could be a reliever. But of course, when Samardzija got hurt, he stepped into that, got him right in there. I will point this out again to everybody. Lefties against Derek Holland, 141, 9 for 64. That's Will Smith territory. And I could see it coming. Will Smith, Watson, and Derek Holland, the three relievers going down the stretch. I can, Bochy loves three lefties. I could see that happening.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the makeup of this bullpen. Ty Block had another good relief appearance last night. He knows he's pitching for a job, and it's tough for these pitchers who have options, because they have to weigh that on their mind and know that if they don't produce, they're heading to Sacramento, and the Giants are going to have a very competitive competition for the pitching roles in the coming days, and we've already seen it in the past 2 weeks.
One last thought for you. I really appreciate your time on this Sunday morning. Coming in, I was listening to Jim Bowden and Steve Phillips on the MLB Network talking about all the relievers that are going to be moved and how many teams need relievers. And I realize Strickland is going to come back at some point, but maybe the right-handed side is not as steady as I would like to see it. How about Kyle Bearclaw? I think, can they get another reliever? I mean, I know, but can they go down the reliever path again, after Melanson and all that stuff?
Well, I think you can go down that path. I don't think a guy like Melanson and his injury history would stop you from doing so. But they have to be really careful about this luxury tax. And, and I think that they're going to view it as Strickland, Longoria, Johnny Cueto as they're going to look at them as the guys who they acquired in the month of July, because they can't go out and get someone with that luxury tax looming over their heads. And so they'll look at it like that and hope that everyone else stays healthy and that they have 30 to 35 pieces who can contribute on a 25-man roster in the second half.
Well, it's going to be fun. I'm glad we're at July. We made it through 3 months already, and, obviously very optimistic. Andy Baggerly this morning on The Athletic had Samardzija being traded to the Angels as soon as because the Angels need pitching. So who knows? Who knows? That's extra bags, after a couple of tacos. This is what he sort of writes, stuff like that. All right. Well, you're off to Colorado tomorrow?
Off to Denver, 3-game set, 4th of July game, all the holidays in Denver this year.
Yeah, really. Boy, all right. Well, we'll talk to you hopefully on Wednesday. We're on Wednesday 1-4. And, again, Gray is gone. There'll be a couple lefties. Freeland and Anderson are in there, so lefties against the Giants, absolutely, you want to throw them. It's a different game with a lefty. Righties, they have a good lineup. So this Colorado series is going to be one to test as well. And look, they're trying to sweep the number one team, the leading team in the division today. How about that?
Yeah, we haven't seen the Giants finish 500 on a road trip this year yet, Marty, and all they have to do is win one of their next four to do so, but I think it would be a pretty big disappointment at this point if they don't win at least two of the next four, and so they just have to figure out some way to take care of business against interdivision teams, and they can pull 2.5 games out of first place if they sweep the D-backs today.
Yeah, 24-21 against the West. At this point last year, they were probably 17-37. Against the West. So,
maybe 7-57.
Yeah, big turnaround, seriously. All right, Kerry, thanks so much for the time. Have a great day. We'll follow you on Twitter, KO_Crowley, and look forward to speaking to you on July 4th.
Sounds good, Marty. Thank you.
All right, have a good afternoon. That's Kerry Crowley down in Arizona. Always a pleasure to have him on.